thank you for your word. I know that it is life-changing, that it has a power in it, Lord, to change lives, that faith will come this morning. Lord, that as your word goes forth, that each one will hear what you're saying to us. Lord, that we will be inspired. We'll be challenged. Lord, we'll be called to a higher level in our walk with you. And Father, I just pray that for each one that's come today, they'll receive from the word of God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, this morning we're concluding a series on how to power up your life as a Christian, to have God's power work in you. You got to believe. That was the first message. All things are possible to him who believes. That's what Jesus said. He also said that we will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So if we want to have power in our life, we need the fullness of the Spirit. God's Word proclaims itself to be alive and powerful. So if we want power in our lives, we need to fill our lives with the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Live the Word of God. That's a powerful life. And last week, we talked about how that power is available to us when we pray. It's prayer that brings the power of God into our lives, into our family, into our church, into our world. Amen. God has chosen to work this way, that He moves when people pray in faith. So prayer brings the power. It's by the power of God at work in us that our lives are changed, that we're new creatures in Christ. Excuse me. That we're victorious, overcoming Christians. It's the power of God. It takes the power of God in us on a daily basis to live that life. But there's one more key element of the power of God at work in the believer that we need to be very aware of. And that is simply this. The power of God in us is not just for us, but it's for others. It's not something that we hang on to or we hoard up in our life. No, the power of God is to flow through us to others. It's not only for our benefit, but for everybody that we're around. If we want the power of God to be at work in us, then we have to be vessels of His power. Allow His power to flow through us. Jesus said this in Matthew 10 and 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Cleanse the lepers. How can we do that? Well, we can't do it, but His power in us can. It's not us. Jesus said, freely you have received, now freely give. Every person that's been born again has received something that you can give. Something that you can share with others. Many of you in this congregation, you've experienced God's healing touch in your life. Many of you have been set free from things. You know what it is to be bound and then be free. You've received something that you can share with somebody else. But it's not us. It's not our power. It's God's power at work in us. My favorite verse is Ephesians 3:20. To Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. It's the power of God at work in our lives. But that power is not just for me. It's not just for you. It's for us to share with others. The same one that set us free and healed us and gave us peace, made us a new creature. Listen, that same power is to flow through us to minister to others, to help somebody else. Listen to me, it is a sad and boring Christian life if you get saved and healed and set free and then you just wait for heaven. That's not God's plan. God wants every one of us to be used of Him. He's building His church and He has chosen to do it this way, that He works through the lives of His people. His power flows through His people. You know, we talked about the woman with the issue of blood and how she was healed when she tapped in to that power that was in the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said these words, "Somebody touched me, for power has gone out from me." It was when she touched him in faith that power went out from him. And you know, we looked at that story from the viewpoint of the woman with the issue of blood, and how that when we have a need in our life, if we'll really believe and reach out and touch the Lord, that power is available for us. But I want you to realize that as a child of God, as a born-again believer, that same power is in your life. We need to realize that that power that's in us, when there's a demand of faith on that power, that power flows through us also. You know, the power of God, in many ways, it's like electricity. You know, electricity doesn't flow until there's a ground. Now, I don't want any of you going and trying this, but you can actually grab a hold of a hot wire. As long as you're not grounded to anything, you won't get shocked. I'm going to say it one more time. Don't go trying it out and proving it, because sure enough, you'll find yourself aground somewhere. But if you get a hold of a hot wire, as long as there's no ground, that power doesn't flow through you. Little bitty tiny 1 ounce birds can sit on a power line with 20,000 volts flowing through. It doesn't matter, because that power doesn't flow until it's grounded to something. And you see, the power of God doesn't flow until there's a demand, until it's grounded to something. And we need to understand that many times in our life, we're just sitting on the power of God. We're not doing anything with it. We need to put a demand. We need to believe. And one of the ways that we do that is by allowing God to use us to minister to other people. What a shame if the only time that we ever pray, the only time we ever really believe God for something, is when I personally have a need. In fact, if you'll begin to minister to others, if you'll begin to allow that power to flow through you, it's amazing how God takes care of your needs. Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I tell you, when we make it our business to do His business, it's amazing how God takes care of us. But the Lord wants us to be vessels of His power. When we come in contact with a need, that power is available to flow through us to meet that need. We're not the source of the power. He is. But He intends for us to be a conduit of that power. That power, the power of God, is not for us just to enjoy life and, you know, so I can have the abundant life. Listen, abundant life is more than you just having what you want. Abundant life is having the life of God in you. And when we're being used of God and we're seeing God change lives, oh, that's abundant life. That's really living. He's given us the power to evangelize the world, to reach the lost, to make disciples, to build His church. He's put that power inside of His people. John chapter 15, why don't you go ahead and turn there. John chapter 15, Jesus tells us that He is the true vine and we are the branches. The life of the vine is for the branches, but it's not only for the branches, it is to produce fruit. The same power that brings new life to us is to reproduce us, to bring fruit. Well, let's read it, John 15, beginning with verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Now, we're not going to get into a real deep theological teaching on this passage, and I realize that there's a lot here, but just very plainly and simply, Jesus says, every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every Christian that does not bear fruit, that doesn't involve themselves in ministry, in reaching out and giving what they have so freely received, I'm telling you, you will dry up and blow away. Your spirit will get so dry. The only way that you can stay fresh and full of life and keep growing in the Lord is if you are willing to be used of God and allow the power of God to flow through you. That you're willing to reach out to others, that you're willing to share what you have. And it is amazing when you do that, how that you yourself are refreshed. There's power that flows through you. Well, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. See, we need to never get to the place where we say, you know, I used to do this, or I did that one time, I've done this and I've done that. No, God wants to prune us so we'll bear even more fruit. Now, he says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you, already pruned. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And he tells us very plainly and simply that the key, the power that produces the fruit in our life and through our life, it's him. And it's only as we abide in him, as we realize that he's the source. And you know, it should go without saying, but we need to always realize that. Because not only could some people be so arrogant and prideful as to think that they did something, but you know what I find so often is the opposite of that. That people shrink back from being used of God. Because how could I do it? I don't have anything to offer. Well, no, it's God in you. It's his power at work in your life. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. You see, if we spend time with the Lord, just let God use us, we can bear much fruit. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. No, we can't do anything without his power. But we are not without his power. His power is available in those who believe. He is working in and through us if we are willing vessels. We just got to always remember it's him and not us. Especially when God does use you. Give God the glory. You're just a vessel. Now, there's a story told about the little donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The next day, the little donkey woke up still remembering all the fantastic things that had happened the previous day. He was so excited. And he got up and he went into town. And he was amazed that people weren't excited to see him. He said, don't y'all know who I am? It's me. I'm here. Somebody slapped him on the tail and told him to move out of the way. Well, he decided these bunch of heathens, they just don't realize who I am. So he went on to the marketplace. He thought he'd find some good people there. Same thing happened again. Nobody cared about who that donkey was. Nobody thought anything about him. He said, don't you remember me yesterday? Y'all were throwing the palm branches in front of me. Y'all were all shouting praises. Everybody just ignored him. He goes home hurt, and his mother explains to him, child, don't you know that without him, you're just an ordinary donkey? I'm just letting it soak in. Without him, you're just an ordinary donkey. I get it. I tell you, without him. All of us, apart from him, he says we can do nothing. Verse 6, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. Now, we can't do anything without the Lord. And you know, sometimes people try to do the work of the Lord without God's help, without really spending time in prayer, without really having a relationship with the Lord. I tell you, and when your ministry or your efforts for God overload your relationship with the Lord, you're in trouble. But if we abide in him, we can bear much fruit. In fact, verse 7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now there's a promise that has been so abused and misappropriated in the body of Christ. Ask whatever you will and it'll be done for you. Mm-hmm. How's that working for you? Listen, that promise is every bit true. But we need to take the promise in the context in which it's given. Jesus said, first of all, in that very verse, he says, abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you will and it'll be done for you. Because when you abide in Jesus and you allow the word of the Lord to abide in you, it changes what you're going to ask for. I mean, you're going to ask for things in line with the will of God when you're abiding in Jesus and His Word abiding in you. But let's look at that promise in the light of this whole passage of Scripture. He's talking about bearing fruit. He's talking about us going forth and bringing much fruit to the Father's glory. Now, when you're doing the work of the Lord, when you're being used of God, when you're sharing your testimony, or you're encouraging somebody with a word from Scripture, listen, you can ask whatever you will, and He'll do it for you. God will back it up. But it's not just for our personal desires and selfish carnal desires. No, but when we're involved in ministry and doing the work of God, He says, whatever you need, ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. What a great promise. But He wants us to be fruitful. He is the vine. He's the source of life. But that life is to flow through us to produce fruit in our lives. Jesus called us the light of the world. Now, you know, He also called Himself the light of the world. That's easy for us to see. Jesus is the light of the world. But then He says, you are the light of the world. I'm telling you, we need to shine for the Lord. Don't hide it. Don't hide your faith. Don't hide your relationship with Jesus. Don't hide what God has done in your life. No, but rather you shine. You allow that light to shine. Minister to somebody else. Well, how can we minister to others? It's His power working through us. And we're going to do a review of the previous weeks of this series, because as we talk about ministering to others, it's all God's power. We've been talking about how to power up your life. How can you minister to others? You've got to have God's power. The first one is that you have to believe. John 14 and 12, Jesus says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. The only prerequisite that Jesus gives is that you believe. Don't limit what God can do through you. You see, the enemy of your soul is also the enemy of the plan of God. He knows that Jesus is building His church. He knows that Jesus is using His people to build His church. And He also knows that if He can undermine your faith and stop you from believing God, that He can stop you from being used of God. Jesus said, he that believes on me. Not he that's righteous and good and real religious. Hello? See, that's what some of us think. We think if we were just, you know, if we were really good, then maybe God could use us. Listen, our righteousness is of the Lord. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We've been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's not dependent upon our goodness, it's His goodness. Amen. So don't allow the enemy to put you under a load of condemnation and make you think that you can't be used of God. He's not just robbing you, He's robbing people that you need to be ministering to and you need to be helping. The prerequisite is that you believe. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to Bible college. Here's another lie. Well, it's only for a special few. Only for certain people. It is very plain and obvious in Scripture that there are certain people that are called for a certain purpose and special things. And there are people that are gifted in one way or another. But there are also things that all of us are supposed to do, that all of us have been empowered to do. And we need to understand that, that every single one of you, the Bible says that you have a function in the body of Christ. You're part of the body. And the body grows and builds itself up as each part does its function in love. Listen, we need to realize, every one of us, there's a call of God on your life to be used of God. In some way, God wants to empower you. He wants to use you to minister to others. don't allow some lie, some deception to talk you out of that. You know, there's the lie, the deception, that the power of God to minister was only for the 12. That's amazing to me. The Apostle Paul was not one of the 12, and he did more than any of the 12. He never walked and talked with the physical Lord Jesus. Yes, the Lord taught him out in the desert. He had a relationship with Jesus. But he didn't walk with Jesus on this earth. He wasn't one of the 12, and yet he was used more mightily than any of the 12. How about Stephen? Stephen wasn't one of the 12. This is what the Bible says about him in Acts 6 and 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Great wonders and signs. Jesus didn't just send out the 12. No, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, that he also sent out 70 more. And he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest." See, Jesus didn't, God can use one. He can use two or three, but he wants to use a bunch. He said, "We need laborers sent into the field." Church, we today need to stop thinking that only a few are to be chosen and used. God wants to use every one of you in your sphere of influence and people that you come in contact with, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, your co-workers. God wants to use you. He sent out the 70, and when they came back, Luke 10, 19, he said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And we like to quote that verse, how that Jesus gives us power over all the power of the enemy. But again, in context, he was talking about when you go out, when you're doing work for the Lord and you're ministering to other people, you don't have to be afraid of anything. There's the power of God that's upon you to minister to others. Over all the power of the enemy. Power for ministry. But you got to believe. If we believe that God can't use us, that power won't flow through us. Now, you know, a lot of us, and I want to clarify this, a lot of us, most of us, maybe all of us, have been there where we said, well, God couldn't use me. But you at some point have to come to the place that you believe that God is actually bigger than your weakness. He told Paul, "My power, my strength is made perfect in weakness." You got to know that God's power is greater than your weakness, and he can use you not because of you, but in spite of you. He can flow through you and minister to other people. Well, sure, we've all been to that place where we said, "Oh, I can't do anything." Like Moses, he says, "Who am I?" Or like little Jeremiah, who said, "I can't do anything. I'm just a child." Some of you think you're too young. Some of you think you're too old. Some of you think you're too bad. Whatever it is, listen, God can use you. But you have to allow his power to flow through you. You have to believe. You see, he commissions all believers in Mark 16. Verse 15 through 18, he says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, sometimes we just need to be weird, all right? So we're going to be weird for a second. I want you to look at your hands. Look at them. Quit looking at me. Look at your hands. Jesus said that believers will lay hands on the sick. Are you a believer? Yes. He said if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Okay, you can stop looking at your hands now. It is amazing. There's something about that touch. Now, you know, even people of this world will tell you there's something about the human touch, how important that is to us. But this isn't just a human touch. When we lay hands on somebody in faith, it's a supernatural thing. There's power that flows through your hands. So, well, I don't believe that. Well, it's not going to happen to you then. Because it happens to believers. It happens when people believe. And the first thing to seeing the power of God work in your life, much less through you, is that you believe. But when you lay hands on people, now the Bible says to lay hands on no man suddenly. In this culture, certainly, we need to be wise about laying our hands on somebody. But I'm telling you, there's something powerful about laying your hands on somebody or even joining hands with somebody in prayer. We need to use our faith to reach our world. Believe God for lost souls. Believe God for specific families or individuals to be saved. Pray in faith for the sick to be healed, for captives to be set free. Next, we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit one more time. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." And again, let's see that promise in context. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit is wonderful. What a blessing. I mean, when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, that's a wonderful thing. What a blessing. But it's not something just for your benefit, it's for others. The first thing he says, "And you shall be witnesses of me." The power of the Holy Spirit is to empower you for ministry. The gifts of the Spirit are not just gifts for us personally. No, they are gifts to the body of Christ. That because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we have gifts to be able to minister to other people. That power is for the fulfillment of the Great Commission, to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, to continue the ministry of Jesus in this world. Let's talk about the power of the Word of God. You see, the Word of God has such power in it that when we receive it, we meditate that Word, we renew our mind, it transforms our lives. When we live out the Word of God in our life, we're seeing the power of God lived out in our life. But you also need to know this, that when you share the Word of God with somebody else, you're sharing life and power with them. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and powerful. And so when you speak the Word of God to somebody else, it's not just religious words. Those words are alive and they're powerful. They have an effect. It accomplishes what He sent it to do. Now, I've been around some religious people who went around just quoting random verses trying to look spiritual. And the only power they had was to turn people off. But when we truly are being led of the Spirit and God speaks His Word through us, when you share the Word of God with somebody else, listen, you don't have to be able to quote chapters. You can just tell somebody He's the God of all comfort. That may be all they need. You may just tell somebody He's the Prince of Peace. You might just tell somebody Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, you don't have to be able to quote a ton of scripture. God can speak His Word through you. And if you'll share the Word of God with other people, you're sharing the power of God. You're allowing the power of God to flow through you, and that power can transform and change their life. That's the power of the Word of God. We talked about how that prayer brings the power of God. The Bible tells us to pray for one another. One of the ways that we release the power of God to flow is when we join together with others in prayer. Now, you can pray for people in your prayer closet, in your personal time with God. You certainly should pray for the needs of other people. But many times, we also need to be willing to pray with people face to face. Personally, to pray with them. As I said earlier, to join hands with them and pray for them. Now, sometimes you'll encounter somebody that doesn't want to be prayed for that way. You say, "Can I pray with you about that?" But you know what? For every one that will say, no, that's okay. I've had that happen. 99 out of 100 will say, yes, pray for me. And many times tears will start to stream down their face. It may be the first time in their life that somebody has actually prayed with them that way. It might be the first time in 5, 10 years. I tell you, there are a lot of people in our society that are hurting. Many of them, they know somewhere in the back of their mind that the Lord is the answer. They may not have been in church 5, 10 years, and here you come along and you say, could I pray for you? And God does something mighty in their heart. You're praying about a particular need, but He's doing much more than just meeting that need. How did that happen? Because you were willing to pray. Because you weren't afraid to pray. And the power of God begins to flow. I'm telling you, if we'll just pray, that gives God the opportunity to flow through us in ministry to others. Jesus said, Matthew 18 and 19, if any two of you agree on earth as touching or concerning anything, He said it'll be done for us by our Father in heaven. If two of us will just agree. See, sometimes we have to come into agreement with that person. Some of you have been praying for somebody. You've been praying for them and praying for them and praying for them. Maybe you need to go to them and agree with them. See the power of God work through your life. I'm telling you how we can experience God's power every day. It's when we minister to others. And one of the ways we bring that power is by praying for people, being willing to be used of the Lord to pray. We get saved, we get healed, we get set free. God takes care of us. He's blessing us. Oh, we have so much church. We are so blessed. But He has blessed us in order that we might be a blessing. He said, freely you've received, now freely give. We got way too many spiritually fat believers. Now Jesus, or the scripture says we're supposed to be fat and flourishing. All right? But it's not talking about that we just hoard up the blessings of God. No, we're supposed to be sharing what we have and giving it out. You know, I really believe this, that that living water that flows through the believer, when you stop it up, it stagnates. You know, there's a difference in a little pond, a stock tank, where the cattle drink out of, and a flowing stream. That water in a flowing stream is fresh and clean. But when it's been sitting in that pond for a long time, it just gets full of all kinds of algae and junk. I wouldn't want to drink that. And I'm telling you, when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, we just get dry spiritually. We get stagnant spiritually. But you begin to reach out to other people. You begin to share what you have. And it's amazing how you yourself are experiencing life and power in your own life. Most of us know enough spiritually to get saved 10,000 times. If you're born again, you've got enough to share with somebody else. And you begin to share what you have, and it's amazing how God just blesses you. But you got to be willing to be used of the Lord. You know, Jesus gave the story, the parable, about how the shepherd will leave the 99 to go and rescue that one lost sheep. And we all need to have that heart. You see, that one lost sheep that's brought back to the Lord brings more joy in heaven than 99 who need no repentance. That one lost sheep. I want to tell you something. We can have 99 joined together every Sunday, and if that's it, the joy won't last. But it's as we are reaching out to people, not only is there joy in heaven, but when we see people being born again, people being healed, people being set free, there's joy here too. Now I got some good news for you. I got a good word for you. Wednesday night, I understand that there were 5 young people that went to the altar for salvation, and many more came down to rededicate their life, but 5 for salvation. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know that as you know, we've had new people coming into the body here over the last few weeks. There have been several that have been born again here in this altar area. I know God is moving and working. I want you to realize He wants to use every single one of us. He wants us to be willing to go out, to look for those in need, to look for that lost sheep. Anybody know somebody that's out of church? You may know somebody that's never been born again. They need to be born again. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of people in our society, they've been born again at some point, they're just out of church. They need to be in church. We need to reach out to those people and help them to find their way. We need to be consumed, not with what we want, but with the Great Commission, what our Father wants, with a passion to reach out to people. And I just want to say this very plainly now. There's no pressure on us. All we are is the vessels. Listen, God provides the power. We just have to be willing to be used of God, to allow Him to shine through us and to speak through us, to touch through us, to use us. Everywhere Jesus went, He met the needs of people. I want to tell you, you can't meet everybody's need, but you can meet some. The problem is too often we just pass the buck to let somebody else do it. If God shows you a need, be willing to be that one that He uses. Be willing to reach out to that person. And say, well, I can't do it. Realize it's God working through you. You're not working alone. He's the one that will meet the need. But we have to be willing. You know, being used of God that way is so life-changing. I still remember the first time that I led someone to the Lord in a sinner's prayer, because it was during that time, during those few moments, as I prayed with this person to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that God called me to ministry. 32 years ago. As a teenager, I prayed with another teenager. And during those few moments, something happened on the inside of me that I knew that I could never be satisfied doing anything else but ministry. And you know, here's the point I want to make to you. There's a joy. There is a fulfillment. There's something powerful about being used of God to help somebody else. And I challenge you, encourage you as a child of God, as a Christian, don't allow the enemy to rob you from the blessing of ministering to others and helping others. However God uses you, be willing to be used of the Lord. His plan is to minister through you. And I will say this again, you don't need to be professionally trained. You don't need to go to school. You don't need to have some certain course or 6 weeks of classes. And I want you to understand, I'm not knocking any of those things. But I'm just telling you that what we need is to believe in the power of God. It's not how great a speaker we are or anything. Listen, all it is His power working through us. We just need to be willing to be used of Him. We need to believe that God's power is available. We need to be full of the Spirit. We need to be full of the Word of God. And we need to be prayed up. But there's no requirement for, oh, I don't know, I don't think I know enough yet to be used of God. Peter and John on the way to the temple to pray. Fishermen, what do they know about the power of God? Well, these guys haven't even been to seminary. Oh, but wait a minute. Peter was with him for 3 years. How long have you been with him? I tell you, there are a lot of believers that have been with the Lord for 30 years and yet think that God can't use them. And there's a lame man begging for alms. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none." See, sometimes you'll come across some needs and you say, well, I don't have what they need. No, he had something much more Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. But that's not the end of it. Then he did something. He walked over and he took that man by the hand. There's that touch again. And he pulled him up. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. I'm telling you, we need to believe that God will use us. Not just to heal the lame, but to share the power of the gospel with that person that's never heard it. To tell people about the Holy Spirit in their life, to give them power to live a Christian life. See, we just need to be willing to be that vessel that God uses. Pray for the sick. Encourage those that are down and out. Comfort those that are hurting. Share good news with people. Speak God's word to people. Be willing to be used. There's power to minister. You need to realize God can use you. There are some people, you say, oh, I can't reach everybody. I can't reach this one or that one. I really believe this. There are some people that God's going to use you to touch, to reach, to minister to, that nobody else is going to. And I encourage you, I challenge you this morning, don't miss out on the blessing that God has for you. You know, we talk about this abundant life. We talk about how great it is to live for God and serve God. We talk about the power of God and how we bring a halt to all of that in our life when we're not willing to allow it to flow through us. Freely you've received, or freely you've received, now freely give. That's what Jesus said. So I encourage you and challenge you this morning. Be willing to allow the power of God to flow through you. Oh, I'm telling you, it'll bless you. It'll cause you to feel so full, so satisfied in your life. At the same time, it'll put something on the inside of you and cause you to hunger for more, that you'll want to again and again to reach out to somebody and minister to somebody, see them have what you have.